The Night Train is brought to you by St Andrews Hotel, 128 Nicholson Street, Fitzroy. Beautifully crafted, cosy and intimate spaces for your drinking and dining experiences.
Absolutely exceptional, so I'm going for the Knights.
But when you talk of Knights, it's a real fighting team.
Buscock into the back of the net. Melbourne Knights take the lead 1-0. Melbourne Knights will win the Doherty Cup.
Welcome one and all to the Night Train and FNR Football Nation Radio, where every Monday evening we'll be discussing everything and anything Melbourne Knights. On tonight's show, we have juniors and mini-roos news, women's news and results. We'll touch on the huge FFA Cup playoff game against South Melbourne on Wednesday and followed up with the less than ideal result against Bentley over the weekend and the upcoming Croatian derby against sister club Dandenong City. And we'll speak to Tony Dorotic, the president of Dandy City, later on in the show as well. We'll have the usual competitions, and in the studio we have Knights custodian and arguably the form keeper of the competition, Mr. Hrvoje Harry Chakarun Kacharun. But first up, a shout out to the sponsors that make our club tick. A huge thank you to our show sponsor, St. Andrews Hotel, formerly the Pump House. Major sponsor, IND Group. Number one ticket holder, Melbourne Croatia Soccer Club. Living Gems Lifestyle Resorts, Melville Bodyworks, and the Australian Croatian Clubs of Melbourne and Geelong. I'm one of your hosts, Rob Spoliard, and thankfully joining me each and every Monday night here is Anthony Smallich, who has yet again managed to sum up last week's events through song. Anthony, good evening to you.
Good evening, Spolge. Harry, Josh in the studio as well. And to all our listeners, welcome back. Episode 19. I think next week we'll get a torta going with a big 20 on it. And we'll do a bit of a ceremonial cutting of the cake after 20 episodes. I think that's what they do on Neighbours. So we'll do the same.
Who's baking the cake?
I don't know. We'll have to find someone, mate. Maybe Anthony Bourdin might be able to put something together for us.
A vegetarian one. We could get Borja Mikulic to bake us a cake as well. It might be a bit different anyway. But now, just like Moses after witnessing the burning bush, Josh Parrish has a full head and beard full of silver and grey hairs after coming back from Summer Street for the first time to witness that wonderful FFA Cup game against South Melbourne on Wednesday night. Charlton Heston, I mean, Josh, did you enjoy yourself?
I think I might have enjoyed myself a little too much if the sore head the next day was anything to go by.
Look, I've got to look like a David Svetkovsky on you. Like, you know, talk us through it. You know, you've walked in through the gates. There's goulash being cooked on an open fire. How was it? How was it in that cold, dark hole in hell, as I think it was Bernstein that described Summer Street as?
It was fantastic. Sensational atmosphere. I think, you know, especially good. And, you know, the fog, the flares, it all combined for such a almost mystical experience. And as soon as the game started, the intensity in the crowd, the intensity on the field, it was so snappy, into tackles, even from the hospitality of the president's box, I could feel the crazy intensity of the game. It was absolutely sensational.
Yeah, it was. Even though the crowd wasn't quite as big as it was in the original derby in the first game of the season, I felt like the crowd just lifted in this one, and there was a real cup atmosphere there on Wednesday night.
The roar after Hamish Watson scored that first goal pretty early on in the match and then ran over towards the crowd, towards the subs bench, sort of puffing his chest out. That really, I think, ignited that game. It was a fantastic first time experience for me at Summer Street, for sure.
Was he running to anybody in particular?
No, I think he's forgiven me. like I said, I'm more than happy to eat my words. If he's scoring hat tricks, more than happy. And it's you know, it's only because you know what he's capable of. That's what it is, you know. And you know Hamish is capable of a lot, and he showed that on Wednesday, and I am very happy for it as well. On a sadder note, we just got news in that Mirko Rastočić Rus, legendary groundkeeper at the Knights for decades, is in hospital and not doing too well. So on behalf of everyone here at the Night Train and on behalf of the whole Melbourne Knights community, we wish him and his family all the very best and comfort at this very hard time. And our thoughts and prayers are with him.
Exactly right. So get well, Rus. Hopefully we'll see you very, very soon.
Back to football then. Small. Mini Roos, juniors, a big weekend for our youngsters.
Plenty has happened over the weekend. So I was out at Dobson Reserve yesterday and most of the Mini Roos and MPL teams were playing out at Dobson. So round 9 for the Mini Roos as it all went yesterday. Rob's under-7s lost. Peter's under-7s drew. Under-8s Ivan Jukic won 3-1. Under-8s Jack Gavran had a bye. Luch Stolitz's under-9s had a nil-all draw with Green Gully. Paul Magdich's under-10s won 7-3 away from home, so that was a big result. Bruno's under-10 Wallabies won 6-5, so that was a fantastic result for Bruno's team. Under-11's Damian Wojtek won 2-1, and under-11's Vlad won 1-0. So they're in a bit of a streak there, Vlad's team. Under-11's girls, Jacob, won 3-2. So again, I think that's 6 in a row for Jacob's girls. And Seb's under-12 girls lost 4-0. So it's the halfway round for the Mini Roos for this season. Big shout-out to Bruno's under-10 Wallabies for all his hard work and doing a great job with the new players that he has and continued great work across all age groups with Vlad's under-11s team still undefeated. So not only on a streak, but they haven't been defeated this season. So
fantastic.
Fantastic for Vlad's team. Round 16 for the MPL teams. They took on Pascavale yesterday, and I did see a very sharp-looking Ivan Kerlich at yesterday's game. So I wasn't sure if he was there for Knights or possibly he's got kids at Pascavale, but it was... Didn't want to bug him too much and try and get him on the show, but we'll try and get our hands on Ivan and have him on the show one night. So under-12s D drew 1, lost 1. Under-12s S drew 1, lost 1.
Oh, correction, that one. They actually won 1, lost 1 in that one.
Did they?
Oh, I was the licensed man in that game, so I know. And shout out to Matty who scored in that game, so well done, Matty.
Never in doubt, mate. Carrying on a long tradition of spoilers banging in the goals.
Yeah.
Under-13s lost 6-0. Under-14s lost 9-0. The 15s continue their great form with a 3-1 win. Under-16s lost 2-0 and the 18s lost 2-1. So thank you again, Susie Corlidge, for sending through the results. Hard day in the office yesterday for most of our MPL teams. Some very competitive matches in the older age groups. Results could have gone either way. Unfortunately, Pascavale proved too strong in our younger age groups. So a bye round this weekend for our MPL juniors. Hopefully a chance to recoup and get ready for a big second half of the season. Now for women's results. This week's round saw the girls play second-placed Old Zaverians at their ground. The reserves had an outstanding game, bringing home the 3 points, which saw Philomena score another hat-trick and one goal from Tia. So final score 4-0, so comprehensive win there for the reserves. The seniors, even though they managed an early goal by Kate Spiteri, lost by margin, losing 2-1 to Old Zaverians. But again, we can't stress enough, get down and support the women's teams whenever you can.
And only the second loss of the season as well, so... Well done, girls.
And one very late one that's come through from Tom Gavran. He says, hey, Smolik, good luck tonight. Saw Stefek Saturday at Bentley. So a big shout out to Steph.
I saw Stefek as well.
Who was there. So he's an avid listener.
Yeah, and he was very touched by that song. He kept going on about the song. He's that good night, Stefek. And he loved it.
He's given us the match reports for the 18s and 20s, a little bit more comprehensive. So the 18s lost a tight and highly competitive game against fellow top contenders Pascavale 2-1. Pascavale got the jump on us early, resorting to long balls, which put us under pressure and ultimately going 1-0 up. Some great saves by keeper Zach kept us in the game, but by the end of the half, it was the Knights that had all the play with the Pasco keeper pulling off a string of great saves to keep his team 1-0 up at halftime. Knights continued to play football and Pascavale kept to their tactic of long balls in the second half. Against a run of play, Pasco scored a second after a free kick hit the woodwork and got the rebound to go 2-0 up. Knights were finally rewarded for their play through striker Goran Šljivić.
No.
That name just keeps popping up every week in, week out, with 15 minutes to play, but unfortunately was the end of the scoring. Under-20s bounced back from the previous week's disappointing loss with a 3-2 win against Bentley Greens. In an even first half, the Knights were lucky to go nil-all after Bentley were disallowed a goal for a foul on keeper Andre Markov. Second half saw some exciting combination play by the boys with a couple of fine moves finished off by Adrian Tardio, who finished with two goals. However, the goal of the game came from defender Damon Todorov with a curling shot into the top corner with his opposite foot. A late Bentley penalty made for an exciting finish, but the Knights held on for a 3-2 win. Special mention to 18s player Philip Lessard that got his starting debut in the 20s, and for diminutive young Messi Felipe Sanchez, who after playing 60 minutes in the 20s, got his debut off the bench with the seniors playing approximately 25 minutes. So Felipe has only just turned 17 and will be one of our youngest debutants, definitely our shortest. So well done to young Sanchez, who got his debut in the night senior team against Bentley on Saturday night.
Yeah, and we've actually got Marco Uskok, who, a correction for the reserves game, it was actually 5-0 with another goal to Gabby Cormshaw. So
there you go.
An even bigger win for the girls. So congratulations to the girls. Tony Kowalczyk mentioning Harry, who was at the women's game. So well done to Harry as well, who's supporting the girls, not just the seniors. It's more than just the seniors team. See, he's a real club man. But anyway, let's run over the scores in round 17 of NPL Victoria this weekend. And Dandenong City, in the end, were lucky to escape with a 2-2 draw against Gully when Alex Salmon tried to kick his last-minute spot kick all the way to Heatherton Road. Oakley managed the last-minute 3-2 win against cellar dwellers Kingston City, who are slowly starting to see their place in Victoria's top league slip away. The Port Melbourne Sharks had a resounding 4-0 victory at home over Pascoe Vale, who have now slipped into the relegation playoff zone. Heidelberg again went down at home to Hume City 2-1. Altona Magic managed to come back from two goals down to eventually beat Dandenong Thunder 3-2 at Paisley Park. That match marred by some ugly scenes on the hill after that third goal, which I'm sure we'll hear more about in the coming weeks. South Melbourne were humbled 3-0 at home by league leaders Avondale FC. And, of course, we had our biggest loss of the season thus far, going down to Bentley by 4-0 at Kingston Heath. The latter, as it stands after 17 rounds, has Avondale remain on top with 40 points, followed by Bentley Greens on 35 points, Heidelberg a third on 33 points, Hume a fourth on 31 points, and then that big squashy middle of the ladder starts with Green Gully on fifth at 26 points. The Knights drop to sixth on 26 points. Altona climbed to seventh on 25 points. South Melbourne are eighth on 23 points. And Oakley are ninth on 22 points and climbing steadily. Port Melbourne are 10th on 21 points. Dandenong City remain in 11th spot on 16 points. Pascoe Vale are 12th on 14 points. And Dandenong Thunder are 13th on 13 points. And Kingston City are last on 10 points. The upcoming round 18 fixtures have two second versus fourth, with Hume taking on Bentley Greens at ABD Stadium on Friday. Life keeps getting tougher for Pascoe Vale, having to take on lead leaders Avondale at home. Green Gully are at home to Port Melbourne. Dandenong Thunder take on Heidelberg at George Andrews Reserve. South Melbourne are at home to Kingston City. Oakley and Altona Magic meet at Jack Edwards in what will be a tough encounter. And we are at home to Dandenong City in the Croatian Derby this Friday night at 7:45 p.m. Do we have... Yeah, we do. So just to discuss that game in further detail, we have the president of Dandenong City on the line, Mr. Tony Dorotich. Tony, welcome to the Night Train.
Good evening, Detchke. Hello.
How you going? Nice to hear your voice here for the first time on the Night Train. Nice familiar voice from over out east over there. You guys are travelling pretty well in the last few weeks.
Really? Well, I thought we drew on Friday night. Lucky to escape with your words.
Well, there was a last-minute penalty, but like I said, Salmon wanted to kick it to Heatherton Road. So.
Thank goodness for that.
The second half of the season looking very different from the first half.
Well, it is, and we've made some changes which everyone's aware of. And given it's our first venture into NPL, you know, we had some learning to do, and it was difficult for the first half of the season. I think we've picked up our game now that we've sort of found our feet and acclimatised and made some changes. So yeah,
and playing some decent
better
football
when you're winning. Much better when you're winning.
And it's not just the results. I think just the performances are much better, aren't they? A lot of decent football being played.
Yeah, they are. And look, as you're aware, we made some changes, and we've got to be forever grateful to Jelko Guzman and Beba for what they did in getting us promoted to this level, and we gave them every opportunity. Unfortunately, it wasn't working, and we made some changes with Ante Mordić and Sasha coming in and some personnel changes. And, yeah, we've noticed a difference with structure and effort on the park, which is what everyone wants to see.
Oh, a couple of very big names there on the coaching staff. How are they settling into the Dandenong community?
Yeah, pretty well. We still got to remind them every week that we're not an A-League team, an A-League club, but, yeah, they're settling very well. They're two great gentlemen and learned gentlemen, actually know the game very well and very, very passionate, and that passion's infectious, yeah.
And I'm sure that they know the community pretty well anyway, Sasha.
They do.
Playing a number of seasons at the Knights, and Ante Mordić having quite a celebrated career over at Sydney United as well.
Certainly did.
Now, in the reverse fixture of the Friday one, had quite a good crowd and the festive atmosphere over there at Frank Holohan. Hopefully a similar turnout this week.
Well, we'd all hope so. And two sister clubs playing against each other. And I think there's a lot of hype around the game, and it's important to both clubs. Hopefully our people will come out and support, and the numbers will swell at Summer Street. Yeah, we're looking forward to coming down.
Absolutely. I mean, you would know Frank Holohan better than the rest of us here. What would have been your estimate of the crowd there last time?
Was it around about the 1,200?
Yeah, it would have been at least.
Which is probably the biggest crowd that, yeah, we've had this year. So, and for a little complex like ours, it's pretty jam-packed, and the Knights supporters drank us out of house and home, so...
Was it a good practice run for the Australian-Croatian soccer tournament coming up in October?
I don't even know if there's such a thing. You know, I'm not sleeping much of late thinking about that one. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a good practice run. I don't know if anything prepares you for those sorts of numbers. But yeah, we'll certainly give it a go, aren't we?
Are you having problems sleeping because of the football, or just because you're
both.
Having too many late nights going to lots of club-related weddings?
that also, my friend, that also.
Congratulations on that as well, and your daughter getting married to another icon of your club there.
Thank you. Yes, I've inherited a son-in-law, a third one, and this is the last of the marriages, hopefully, in the Dorotic family. So.
Have you had enough? I can imagine.
I've had enough.
And has there been any banter that you've heard of out on the various IND work sites between Knights and Dandy supporters this week?
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of banter, but I'm ignoring it all. I'm ignoring every bit of it. I'm just looking forward to Friday night, and hopefully it brings the result that we're looking for, and you guys aren't necessarily, but, yeah. We'll see what happens.
We're going to see some Knights or Dandy flags going up on any cranes across Melbourne over the coming days.
more chance of Dandy flags than Knights flags.
If you want to keep your job, you reckon? There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's good. But it was a fantastic win against South a couple of weeks ago. It looked like a very jovial atmosphere afterwards, particularly around that players' race as the players were making their way back into the dressing rooms. No doubt it kicked on well into the evening after that one.
It certainly did. I think we had just as much fun as you guys did after the FFA Cup win, yeah? yeah, I think we both enjoy beating South very much. And, we needed to return the favour after that FFA Cup loss of a few years ago, which sort of ingrained in our memories.
Very good.
Well, a couple of red cards last week. Ante Mordić can't sit on the bench. He can come sit in the media box with me if he likes.
I'm sure he will, and I can tell you Auntie's not happy about that at all, but we'll find a way around that, and Sash and Semi Civic are more than capable of stepping up, I'm sure, into Auntie's shoes, and that's one pay we don't have to worry about for this week. So,
well, the iPhone's probably going to run hot during the game.
Sorry?
The iPhone's probably going to run hot during the game.
Yeah,
the orders coming from the stands.
Certainly will.
But as Anthony mentioned as well, Tawny coming up in, what, 3.5 months, not even?
Mm-hmm.
How preparations? That's all right, no worries, because I'm sure it's going to be a great one. And the hospitality will be wonderful over there at Dandenong, as it always is. How's it all going anyway?
Yeah, look, preparations are slow. They're slow, certainly, the regulatory stuff that you've got to worry about that we didn't count on, yeah, liquor licences and police and security and all those sort of things are slow work.
That's all unnecessary.
All unnecessary, absolutely, in our community, unnecessary, but I'm yet to convince the powers to be that that's the case. So, but look, all the big-ticket items have been locked away, and the venues are locked away, and the gala's locked away, and bits and pieces like that. There's plenty of people that put their hands up to assist over the 4 days and the days leading in, the days afterwards. So we're pretty excited. We're pretty excited, and certainly looking forward to showcasing Dandy City to the Croatian community of Australia.
And probably a good opportunity for Dandy City to pick up their first Australian-Croatian tournament win on home soil.
Yes.
Yes. I'm not sure why I'm laughing. But I heard you got a bit of a coup for the gala night with a very special MC coming up there.
Well, that's one of our headaches, is how to find a way to reduce his microphone time, yeah?
Is that why we've got the security and all the police keeping walking
on us? Absolutely.
That's right. Melbourne Tornado for the Team Spirit Award. I only need 2 minutes, mate. 2 minutes. That's the story of my life.
You've proven that in the past.
It's my biggest pickup line that I've used many, many times. I just need 2 minutes of your time. and I'm off the stage, mate.
Well done, Smiler.
Well, but Adrian Layer, how's he coming along with his recovery? And I'm not sure I don't think he would have played on Friday, but how far off would he be from making a comeback?
I don't know whether Arte would want me to tell you or not, but yeah, he's well on the road to recovery. We gave him the extra week to make sure that the wound wasn't going to open up again. So I'm sure that he'll be there for selection this Friday night if he's good enough to be picked.
What about young Mordich? I know that Arte's got a son who was doing some pretty good things. Any chance? Has he actually made the move down as well, or is he still up?
No, he hasn't. He was down last weekend, I think, or the weekend before to visit Dad. But young Mordich has got A-League aspirations and he's in the middle of some trials at the moment.
Okay. I was thinking maybe if he could, the old man could bring him across. He was a captain of one of the young Socceroos teams from what I remember last time. He wouldn't be a bad pickup if you could manage to convince the old man to get him to relocate to Melbourne.
We did try, my friend. We did try. But I think, you know what, I think it's probably better that it didn't happen. And I don't think Arthur needs any more pressure than he's already under. So,
Very good. Very good. So you'll no doubt be up in the president's box on Friday night there with our...
Unlikely. I'm not going to sit with the enemy.
Tony. Enemy's a bit of a strong word.
With the general public where I normally stand, more than likely.
You're a man of the people, soul of the earth.
Not unless they've introduced smoking in the president's box.
As Anthony would normally say, you like to spend your time with the rest of us, the great unwashed.
Yes.
Well, Tones, thanks so much for joining us here on the Night Train. Wishing you all the very best of luck for the rest of the season as well to you and everyone there over there at Dandy. Maybe not so much on Friday, but I hope you enjoy the hospitality there on Friday night at the very least.
Thanks very much, guys. It's been a pleasure and looking forward to seeing you all on Friday.
Yeah, cheers, likewise.
Mate. See you then.
All right, good on you. Thanks, guys.
Well. So, we do have another special guest in here. So whilst we're going to dissect the games that have been played over the weekend and that, we might as well include someone who probably knows more about football than the rest of us anyway because he actually plays the game. Ladies and gentlemen, well, it is my great pleasure to welcome to the studio the Knights custodian, Mr. Hrvoje Čakarun.
Pleasure to be here.
21 years of age, born 31 December 1997, so only just relatively recently turned 21, doing some absolutely fantastic things up until, unfortunately, was it Tuesday night? You got a bit of an injury. You got a fairly severe knock to one of your fingers and ended up in surgery.
Yeah, the training before the cup game against South, we just had a big scrap game, 11v11, just to see how it would set up against South. And just a half-hearted cross, really, by Caleb, and I've just come in to collect the ball and it's hit the tip of my finger, causing it to dislocate, pop through my skin, fracture the bone, tear tendons. So I had the whole lot, really. And then was rushed to hospital that night and unfortunately missed the game.
Yeah, so the competition question, which will lead in from that, will be, if anyone knows, which hospital was it that Harry had the surgery conducted at? So I did bump into your mum after the game against South and you would have just been either coming out of surgery at that point, so you would have seen some of the game, all of the game, while you were sort of waiting around?
So, yeah, I had to stay overnight, of course, on Tuesday night, and then they said to me sometime during Wednesday I was going to get surgery, and I was hoping it was earlier than the game because I wanted to come down with the painkillers in my hand because I really didn't want to miss the game supporting. But, yeah, unfortunately, 20 minutes into the game, I'm watching a live stream on my phone. They go, it's your time to come in, and I was just like, you'll be joking me. And, yeah, pretty much just went in, got it done, came out, and the first thing, didn't really care my hand. I just said, did we win, did we not win? I just want to see my phone. And, yeah, the boys got over the line, which was really good.
Yeah, and you would have seen Jordan Gifkins. So you said you watched the game twice after.
Yeah, I did, actually.
In your boredom and sitting around, lying around. How do you think Jordan went? We were pretty impressed with his performance on Wednesday night as well. So.
Oh, like I say always, Jordan's quite unique in goals. He's one of the better shot stoppers I've ever come across and trained with. And, you know, his capabilities in goals I never doubted once. And, you know, as you've seen with last year, him playing, he can do a really good job. And, you know, towards the end and the late, I think, 90th minute, he made an amazing, great save, reflex save that kept us really in it, because you can score late like that. You know, the game can turn within a couple of minutes, and he did us a job, and I know he's going to do fairly well continuing with the form of the season and cup.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It was hard to come in, you know, after all season with you being in such good form, for him to come in, high-pressure game, South Melbourne, playing for the round of 32, he comes in and does an amazing job. But your season so far has been nothing short of amazing. You've been fantastic. Your current goalkeeper coach there, Tony Belitzer, at the Knights today, I think he put down, what did he say, having a fantastic season and a great professional. So one of the questions I had earlier, we chatted about it earlier, what have you done differently, you think, this year as opposed to previous years that's got you into this position, bar the injury, but the position that you've been in, that you've been so confident and great in goals for the first 10, 15 rounds?
Yeah, well, as you could tell, last year was, well, 2 years ago was my first real hit out in the seniors, and I got half a chance, and unfortunately I fractured my scaphoid bone in my wrist, so pretty much was sidelined for a majority of that year. And then I came back and I finally got a chance to play last year alongside Geordie, and as you could tell, it was quite challenging being your first year in the seniors. You know, you make your mistakes, things happen, don't go the way you want them to do. It's not a dream always, it's not perfect run, but it is what it is. And I sort of just reflected on my season, see what I could do better and where I could improve. And fortunately enough, Tony came in and he really, you know, got to the hard work with myself, and we worked really hard. We worked number amount of hours a week, just constant training. We came out early, we were last ones out, and really just stuck to the plan from day one. And that was really what's changed it a lot. I could talk all day about what we've done, but we don't really have the time for that. But, yeah, he's put in an amount of effort for myself, Geordie, even the two reserve keepers, and I'm pretty sure he does train the juniors as well. So he's flat out with the whole keeping union within the Knights, and, yeah, we're very lucky to have someone like him.
And as a junior, where'd you play most of all of your junior football growing up?
Look, I couldn't even tell you how many years ago it was, but I did start at Knights. I've been a one-man club so far, and I'm going to say 14, 15 years ago, I started my juniors in under eights. I think I was 5 years old. And, yeah, would have been maybe 2004. Yeah.
And were you always a keeper?
No, I only started becoming a keeper, I'd say, 6, 7 years ago. I was a player, sweeper, when that was a position back then. and I was playing, it was the Super League year, and I didn't really make the team. You know, being a sweeper wasn't good enough apparently for him. But I dropped down to my age gap, my age group, because I was playing a year above. And, the goalkeeper at the time broke his collarbone, and we sort of just started a rotation in playing. And, you know, when you have that one fluke game where you save a penalty not being a keeper, and then they offered me to be a keeper, and I sort of said to myself, no, I don't really want to be a keeper. But I ended up just becoming a keeper, and that year we ended up winning the league, only conceding like 5 goals. We had a great team. It's not like I did anything in goal, but and just from there on, just stuck with it, and then it became something I really enjoyed and something I love doing.
Yeah, you didn't want to be a striker like your dad?
I mean,
I like to be a striker, but just not like his dad.
You can ask the boys at training. I love having a shot. I love shooting. I love finishing, but I don't think I have an eye like some of the boys in our team. So it's best I stay in the goals and I try to save the goals instead of trying to score them.
Yeah. And never look back?
Pretty much.
Would you, do you have any regrets? I mean, do you wish that you were an outfield player?
No, not really. With my height, with the way my body sort of become, I'm happy that I've become a keeper, happy it was the pathway that took me, and not really. Like, I mean, it's very unique. You have to be a very unique person to be a keeper. As you can see, most keepers are all loopy or they've got some loose screw with them, and I can definitely put myself in that category in some sense, but it's quite a challenging position. The pressure is something that gets to you, and I'm someone who really likes to take that pressure in, and I just try to do what I can and hopefully one day lead to bigger and better things.
Well, you're doing big things now already. Speaking of loopiness and ex-keepers, Mark Ivkovic there on the on the bench with you. He's an ex-keeper. He's a bit loopy.
Oh, Marky Mark has his days, yeah. He knows that.
Does he shower with the players after games?
Yeah, he comes in with the snorkel set and the floaties, and he's just kicking in the corner watching. And he enjoys
the loofah on the stick and just joins in.
Really joking, Mark.
But some of your more notable coaches and teammates over the years. So you've played 14, 15 odd years, coming up through the under eights, nines, etc., all the way up until seniors. Who sort of stands out as a coach that you think, you know, that a lot of our listeners will probably know anyway, and some of the more notable teammates outside of the current senior setup, some of the juniors that you came through with?
I could just start off with a noticeable one last year, having Alyosha Asanovic as my head coach. But going to the juniors, I had ex-Dandy City assistant coach Steve Berbich, his first year with the club, my first year at 18s. We ended up winning the league, NPL. I think it was maybe the first year of NPL, could be wrong. That was a great achievement. That was probably one of my more memorable years playing soccer. I had good old Ivan Druzel as my coach number of years. And my first ever coach was...
How did you find Ivan?
Ivan, yeah, he was great.
Actually, here's a question for you. Which coach would throw out more expletives, Ivan Druzel or Alyosha Asanovic?
Oh, I mean, I can't even answer that.
In what language is the question, I think?
Well, it doesn't really matter. Well, they would both be in Croatian, actually.
Yeah, look, I'd say it's quite even.
Pretty even? Yeah, enough, fair enough.
But talk of Alyosha Asanovic, we had a little bit of a chat earlier about a coffee date that you went out with himself and Anthony Budin once upon a time while he was still coaching here. You were invited out for a coffee and you headed down to a local cafe. And tell us a little bit about how that progressed.
I got invited to go coffee with Alyosha and Anthony one day. I went to this cafe that was ended up being a vegan cafe. And
it's funny already.
that's where Anthony bought in milks the almonds.
Pretty much, he asked. He wanted a macchiato, and because he speaks broken English, he's asked me to get him a macchiato, and he needs to have milk with that, of course. And being a vegan cafe, they don't do full cream milk. And when he got told that what milk does he want, and they said almond, he pretty much made a little bit of a scene in there. And I think I'll just leave it at that.
So, but now with your injury, a bit more full cream milk maybe to strengthen the
bones? Oh, definitely.
Strengthen the
full
bones.
Cream milk, 100%.
There you go. Now, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but have you been contacted by any A-League or possibly international clubs for your services recently?
Look, I'm not going to say I've been contacted. I know they do come watch every now and then. It's not really in my category. Like I say, I just play what I just do what I can. I'm with Knights. I don't look to bigger things while I'm playing. I got a job to do, as do the other boys, so I don't like to get carried away with that stuff. Yeah, you can hear things, but until they happen, you don't worry about it. And, yeah, I haven't personally been contacted, but I just do what I need to do and, you know, hopefully that time will arise.
Well, you were talking about promotion and relegation before we came into the studio as well, and saying you would rate this team, if it was a full-time professional team playing for, you know, to compete against some of these A-League teams.
Oh, of course, like 100%. You know, we got the quality in our team, and not just with our team, like you said on the weekend with Bentley. Some teams in this league have, you know, a lot of quality that if they were full-time teams, you could almost see them causing a lot of upsets with a few teams in the A-League. And I just feel, you know, with promotion relegation, I hope one day that comes in, just for the reason that there are a lot of players out there that don't get the exposure they deserve. And, yeah, I just hope one day it comes through, because there's a lot of people that deserve to be playing higher than what they are.
Well, that's from a playing point of view. You think that you'll be able to compete. What about off the field? Do you reckon, you know, clubs like the Knights or Bentley or, I don't know, do you think they can compete with some of these bigger A-League sides and they actually, you know, go up there into a second division and get the crowds?
You mean more on a financial base or just...
Yeah, well, I think from a financial base, but more so maybe even from a supporter base.
Oh, of course. You know, you take look at teams like, you know, Knights, South. They've got Sydney United even, Sydney Olympic, Adelaide City, all these ex-NSL teams. They always got big, Marconi even, they've got big backed crowds. So I'm sure if they go into the top tier again, you know, people start coming back to the teams they once supported, if they still do support them, or they just moved on to A-League teams. But I'm sure that, you know, if we ever drew, you could just say in a cup game we drew a Melbourne Victory or whatnot, we'd be getting more than a couple thousand there. And I know for a fact a lot of supporters would come back if we were in the top tier once again.
Yeah, I mean, if South Melbourne came back in, Victory wouldn't have any supporters left.
But who was the biggest influence on your career, would you say? So it might have been more than one, or who do you think sort of was that sort of driving force growing up all the way through that you felt?
Oh, when I first started playing soccer, it was more of a, you know, dad brought me along just to play. It was just, I wasn't interested. I was, like I said, I was very young. And as it started to get on, it became more of a social thing. And then when it hit that age bracket of like, this is more serious than becoming, than just joking around, that's when I sort of changed. I didn't really have a influencer. I mean, I did look up to certain people. It does vary though, like even having Frank Juric at the club when I was a keeper, seeing what he did, where he started, was something I sort of said, well, I hope I can get to that stage one day. But yeah, just sort of done it on my own. Like, I've only been at one club. I haven't really pushed or forced my way into anywhere else. Just sort of work on my own. That's all it's been for me.
And we'll talk about Tony Bolica before, and he said, Rui has had an impressive 7 months. A lot of hard work and gone through some tough sessions. He will come back stronger. Speedy recovery champion. So he's there, he's gunning for you, so he's watching you every move, making sure you haven't got a VB there in front of you when you're on national radio. Going back to the question, one person has gotten it right. And for those of you on Facebook, I'll give you a little bit of a hint. That person says that they are Harry's number one fan. But we're going to take a call because I've given you too much of a hint for it to just be a text. So if you want to win the $100 St. Andrews voucher, you've got to call us up at 03, if you're outside of Victoria, 9944 9999.
And now, Spolge, if you can, if there are any messages coming through, I think there's a fair few on Facebook. I've got an iPad and they reckon it's the greatest thing ever, but I can't see one single comment. I can see there's probably more than that, but there's 49 comments I can't see, not one single one. Oh, 88 comments now, I cannot see any of them.
Oh, look, bring back the NSL, stick the A-League apparently, a couple with some colourful language. Marta Kraina saying, Tony Bolica is a great goalkeeping coach. He has been a great asset to the club. Luca Munivrana, hi Harry, it's Frank. Thank you for your goalkeeper gloves. I've still got them in my top drawer, which is one thing that you kept talking about in other shows as well, was that Harry was out there signing his poster and his picture there for all
the
kids.
In the match program. Yeah, that was like when I was a kid. Yeah, you had the rock star in that team, and that's what it was like. It was in the, I think it was just outside the beer garden there, and kids were coming up with that centerfold from the match program, and you were signing it for them, and you know, it's creating a new generation of kids that want to be, now they like you said before, you wanted to be like Frank Juric. Now these kids are growing up. They want to be like Harry Chakarun. You know what I mean? That's absolutely fantastic. And now listening and hearing, we had you on the phone that once upon a time, but having you in the studio talking, you know, and Frankie Munivrana, a perfect example. It's a kid that just absolutely lives and breathes Melbourne Knights. You know, he's got your gloves and will probably keep him for the rest of his life and remember and cherish that for a very long time. But
there is one message for you, Anthony. A little upset you mentioned my brother Marmich, Steve Zovko, four times last week, and I didn't get a mention. Aunt had some choice words for your comment on him being a player's agent. Him bastards that aren't a small age. Go back to Zadar. Cheers. Tom Zovko in hiding with Zdravko Mamić.
And also there was one disclaimer, I don't know what you'd want to call it, an apology or whatever, when we had Paul Mugovic on the show. Yeah. Now, Paul may or may not be listening. Maybe Tony Dorotich has given him the night off so he doesn't have to work at an IND site. But I was speaking to Zeljko Susa at the game on Wednesday night, who would also like to take some credit for the mini nights program that was introduced at the Melbourne Knights.
Okay.
He believes that it took place, the actual initial meeting, and the idea was brought up at his house, and he was very much involved from the start. So, Zeljko, just to make sure it wasn't me, mate, it was all Paul. Paul took all the credit. But there were definitely others involved, and you being amongst them as well. So we just wanted to get that out there as well.
So Casusa, also a Knights legend for those of you younger out there who probably might not remember him, being out there in the late 90s, I think it was. Was it late 90s, early 90s?
It was a tough era for the club, I think, when he was there. But Silky, I played with him now the last couple of years at the tournament with the split old boys. And he's still, even though his knees are cooked and after every game he's got 20 kilos of ice on both knees, he's as silky as Burgoyne. That's what we call him, as silky. I'm not sure if he's playing this year.
How silky is Burgoyne?
I heard it on the radio today. Now, the surgery, rehab, how long do you reckon it'll take for you to be back?
Well, I've got this big, I don't even know what to call it. It's not even a cast, but it's like, it's got this big heartbeat that I'm getting this off on Thursday. Then I get put into just a finger splint, and apparently I'm in that for 3 to 4 weeks. And then after that, hopefully I don't, because I've got a massive scar as well. I've got to wait for the wound to heal up and all that, get the stitches out, and I've tore tendons. So the bone's not going to be an issue. It's more of the tendons. So I'm going to do a little bit of rehab. I'm looking for 6 to 8 weeks, hopefully sooner than later, but it is what it is.
So for Tony Dorotich, if you're listening, he's available this Friday for the selection. So just let Mordich know that Harry will be in goals on Friday. We're just playing a little bit of cat and mouse here, saying, yeah, 8 weeks, you'll be right to go Friday. Now, Marijan Cvitković, caretaker coach, how's it been going from being captain and a teammate to becoming a coach? How's that transition been in the dressing room for you personally and just the general vibe around as well? Because sometimes it's very hard for a former player, or even in this instance a current player, to step into that coaching role where you've got very close relationships on the field, and now you had to step back and watch from afar and make these sometimes tough decisions. How's it all been?
Yeah, of course. I think Marijan's, just firstly, he's doing very well taking on the role, considering that he's not a coach, and what he's done's been superb. But yeah, as you said, he's been great. Like, his attitude prior to being a coach has always been professional. He's always around every player, whether you're the youngest or you're the oldest. He's giving you some kind of advice that's positive, and he always wants the best out of you. And yeah, he's just been great for everyone, and I'm going to back Marijan until the end, and he's doing a superb job. And yeah, with the results and things like that, he's doing the best he possibly can. As we did play 3 games in a week, it's very tough, and he's making a great schedule and just trying to get everyone as fit as they can, and just giving them the right recovery and all that to get them on.
But even as a player coming off a high, say on that Wednesday, how hard is it to get motivated 3 days later just for a normal league tie?
Oh, of course. You know, you come off a high like Wednesday. You play a couple of days before that, and then you have to play a couple of days after as well. And in between, you've got to still get a training session out. It is hard for the boys who are, like as I said, we're a semi-professional team. A lot of the boys are tradies, so they do physical labour for about 10 hours of their day, and then they have to go and train. So it's a quite tough schedule. Sorry, and it's hard to just get up for the next game. With also, not to mention, we did have a red card during the game. You had a few players out due to illness, things like that. It does take a big toll, and it's hard to play your top.
Yeah, I just would think it would be difficult coming off a high, even from a musical point of view. I know, like, you'd play something like a Croctoberfest or a tournament, you've got 3,000 people, it's all a Lordnitz, so everyone's going nuts. And then the next week you're playing a wedding to 80 people and half of them are pensioners, you know, it's a tough gig, you know. And I think it'd probably be sort of similar sort of come down, you know. Yeah.
It's only certain professionals and a certain type of person that can back in, week out, and come up with, let's come up with songs.
Yeah.
That can be played on radio, and
correct,
they can just keep producing the goods. It takes a very strong person.
Professionalism. That's professionalism. Right. That's what it is.
Now, I think we have a caller on the line.
Yes, I think Daniela from Glenroy wants a crack at the quiz question, Daniela.
Yes.
So, Daniela, are you Harry's number one fan?
Yes, I'm Harry's number one fan. I follow him every week.
Were you also Harry's dad's number one fan when you sent in the text about his 42 goals for Mostar? He was a superstar back in the day.
Yeah, I could have been.
Now, do you know which hospital or which venue it was where Harry had the surgery on Wednesday evening?
Yeah, Epping Hospital.
That's right. Very correct. Northern Hospital out there in Epping.
That's correct, yep.
So yeah, no doubt.
It happened against during the South Melbourne game. Half an hour into the game.
There you go. So now you can...
So apparently there's cameras following you anyway, by the way.
So Glenroy, whereabouts do you live, Harry?
Glenroy
as well. Oh, there you go. I think they might have followed you at the driveway, mate, to see where you were going. But you have won the $100 voucher for St. Andrews, so you can enjoy date night if you can find somebody to look after the little one there.
Yeah, I will. No worries. I'll definitely take that offer.
Dida can look after the little one while the two of you go off for a nice evening
I'm sure Dida will.
He'll be all over it. And maybe his mate, Chucky Senior, can come over and help him.
Yeah, Chucky, of course, he'll be there.
Warm up the bottles.
Right-hand man.
Warm up the bottles and keep everything and do the nappy changes if need be.
You know what? If you were a good daughter, though, if you were really a good daughter, you'd give it to your dad and Chucky's dad and let them go and have a romantic night together at St. Andrews.
Oh, I might have to see what I have to do something for me first.
I reckon them two have had plenty of romantic evenings out of them. they don't need any more. But congratulations, yeah. You can collect the voucher from the merchandise kiosk there from Jerome or down at the office.
No worries, I'll be there Friday night anyway, so yeah, I'll definitely collect it.
Perfect. Congratulations and enjoy the rest of the evening. Thanks for listening.
Fala, živa Croatia.
Živa Croatia, absolutely.
All right. Now, there was any other...
Well, we've got a public service announcement. There's Wonka Maslak. If you're listening, Steve Carswitch reckons you should get on to race number three. Number two, Ballarat tomorrow. Get on it. Here we go.
My favourite Facebook comment so far, I don't think you read it out. A lot of people saying bring back the NSL. I think it was Tim Balban who came through saying bring back Smolich climbing on the fence at Adelaide.
I don't think my
Josh, do you have any idea what he's talking about there?
Absolutely no clue, but I was hoping Smolich would fill me in.
Herald Sun, back page, colour photo after the driving back from Adelaide, going through Horsham, pick up the paper at the local newsagents, and there it is, big colour photo of an inside-out orange bomber jacket climbing the fence with Ante Kovacevic facing me the other way.
After the Adelaide City Grand Final 1995 champions.
So I made Ante Kovacevic famous, even though he went on to play A-League and he's currently doing great things.
It was more about that orange bomber jacket.
It was. And the blue Umbro British Lions Tour of Australia tracksuit parachute pants. And British Knights. Remember British Knights, that brand British Knights?
No.
Yeah, well, that's it. And actually, speaking of age, believe it or not, I'm that old that I was at Chucky's parents' wedding. I don't even know what year that was. You might know. You weren't born, but...
Yeah, I wasn't there.
But yeah, that was...
Man, you're a twinkle in your dad's eye, mate.
That was a good night down here in Essendon. I remember that very, very well. But what else is it? Now, you also told us a bit of a story about a loss to Green Gully, 5-1. Was that last season while Alyosha was still coach? Oh, yeah. And he wasn't a man of many words often other than expletives, but he had a bit of a team talk. He got his chair, he turned it around backwards like the Fonz used to do on Happy Days, and then gave us a bit of a story about a similar point in his career when he wasn't exactly impressed with what happened.
Yeah, look, I don't want to go too much into that one. But yeah, let's just say one thing led to another, and we were one of the worst moments of his coaching career.
Oh, come on, you got to give us four. I thought the story was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. You got to let him.
We had a big margin loss to Green Gully, and he doesn't talk about himself. Alyosha, he's always been like that. He's been great, and he just gave us a story of how he went to Gabon in the French colony, and he versed them, and he played, course, in that 98 team with Shuka Boban and that, and he said we got off there thinking we were all pop stars and we ended up getting flogged 4-0, and then he pretty much turned around and said that was the worst moment in my soccer life until tonight. It was pretty hectic.
That's
great motivational speech.
But that's one you can tell the grandkids one day. Alyosha Arsanovic said the worst moment of his soccer career was the game that I played in.
but you said you went to the North Hospital there before you broke a figure. Luka Munivrana, and you can attest to this, say it's whether it's true or not, that that's a veterinary clinic, not a hospital.
I'm not sure.
Even though you have the highest regard for the staff there, your finger's all right now, but you're missing both kidneys. But that's all right. You woke up in a bathtub full of ice.
Next to a phone. Just
just on the side of Cooper Street there. You woke up and go, where the hell am I? With the hospital gown on. But what was the other one? I think there was one more. One that we don't often ask, but Mio Albert is no doubt listening in all the way down the southeast. Hajduk or Dinamo for you?
Oh, 100% Hajduk.
There you go.
Coming from Dalmatia, it's got to be Hajduk, so Hajduk forever.
Yeah, so, and with us... and with us, Hajduk fans, similar to being a Melbourne Knights fans, we're often robbed by referees.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So we're sort of immune now to
it's all Marmich's fault. You know they lost to Bentley on Saturday? Barmich's fault.
That's right. He got angry. He's on the Interpol most wanted list now, so he goes, let's punish the Knights. It took 35 minutes for Melbourne Knights to get a foul blown in our favour on Saturday night against me. 35 minutes into the game was the first free kick that we received.
There's a joke in that, I've been
all the rage now on the radio, they're talking about that bloke that kept pinching the other footy player in the AFL.
Yeah.
And he did it 2 weeks ago. He's done it again on the weekend. He's probably going to get suspended for it. Hamish Watson was basically, it was like Maccabi Diva. He had a bloke on his back for the first 40 minutes of the game and did not get a single foul blown on him. It would have just drained him. Yeah, he would have had this bloke just sitting on him, pulling his arms, standing on his back basically.
And even worse, that bloke failed the weigh-in before the game.
it was a handicap race basically for Hamish in that game. So he did extremely well under the circumstances where nothing was being blown his way up until literally 35 minutes in. It was already 4 fouls to 1, but 35 minutes, you think, not a single foul in your favour. That's a bit strange.
You got to stop using that word blown because you're pulling my tongue. Got kids listening.
I think I asked you about your brother, how he was going. No? You got a younger brother at the Knights?
How's he going?
He's doing well. Yeah, I've got a younger brother playing in the 20s. And, I think this is now his first official year in the 20s, and he's doing well. I think he's got a bit of attitude problems. But he's doing well. He's going to be a good player one day. And, like, there are a few players in that team that one day they'll all definitely become senior players and lead the club in the right direction. But it's just really patience when you get to that age. You're sort of in that age where you want to make the next steps for the seniors. You don't know whether you want to stay or go, but it's you got to just wait it out and hopefully you get your chance to come up. But that just goes for a lot of those players that are in between that gap where you're good for the 20s, not quite up there for the seniors, you're just in the middle. Just wait it out and hopefully he'll get his chance.
And just keep working.
Yeah, just hopefully he gets his chance in the seniors because, like I said, he is a good player. And there are a few more in that team.
I think some of those 20s when they've come up, I think even young Sheelich when he came on, even against Oakley, Todorov when he came, they look pretty good. The young Felipe Sanchez that came on, I mean, you were there on the weekend, Josh, impressed me.
Yeah, I've heard big things about him from other people in the club. And yeah, he impressed me when he came on. I thought he, a tough situation when you're down, 3-0 when he actually got onto the field. And obviously he's a lot smaller than most of those senior players, but he gave as good as he got.
Yeah.
The away supporters, I thought, really took to him quite quickly because of his tenacity as well as his obvious skill on the ball. So I think, I mean, he looks like a really promising prospect.
Yeah. And he's like just turned 17. Is that what Tommy from Thomastown said? So, I mean, look, they can come up and your testament to that. And so are half the boys in the squad. You know, there is a place. You just keep working. And it's wonderful to see. I think there's nothing more satisfying as a supporter than to see someone that's come up through the ranks and come up in the first team. It really makes your heart sore.
That's right. And then that filters down all the way through the younger age groups and they see that there is a pathway. If there's no pathway, that's when people don't leave it. 15, 16s, 18s, they leave at 12, 13s. If they see that it's going nowhere, these kids are off. They are gone. Whereas if you see this constant feed into the senior team, and you're just looking now, you've got 6 or 7 players come through the juniors in our senior team, and now more and more are getting added to the squad as the season gets longer and injuries and everything else. If you're there, you're in with a chance.
Absolutely.
Every single time. You do all the hard work.
Going back to your Heidel comment, Tony Dorotic and Ana Juricic hoping for a Heidel win on Friday, if they reckon.
I think Marmage can then make a phone call in our favour on Friday night, and then we can go back to the old way after that.
I've got to ask you something. We've brought up family matters here. You're similar to Nikola Jurković, where some of your roots come from South Australia. Do you find that really difficult? You know, is that like a great burden for you, having family from Adelaide?
Not really. It is what it is.
I think Nikola said they were a different breed. That's what Nikola said.
Oh, definitely the people in Adelaide, they're quite unique. I don't know.
With all due respect.
With all due respect, of course. They are quite unique.
But good people.
There's definitely some characters in there. Let's just say that.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
So you will be possibly now, with a little bit of downtime that you've got, making your way across there and visit some... Yeah, you've got grandparents over there? So.
I've got grandparents and my auntie and uncle over there. So hopefully I can make some, like you said, downtime to get over there. Might even go support the Raiders, see what their fixture's like, and catch up with a few people from there.
But you know the Spolger's only throwing that one in to keep out of the doghouse after the last couple of weeks. He's been getting texts from home.
I'm just used to it. Just throw me a blanket. Don't worry, I'll be all right. But Mark Ivkovic has come back, saying goalkeepers are the most intelligent human beings on the planet. Outfield players can't handle the pressure of carrying the team on their back. But then Bob Blaise says Smoller handled the pressure well at Tornado. See, the people come
up. Cool as a cucumber, mate. Cool as a cucumber. Very rarely cautioned by referees, other than that one. It was out of character, the one where Mark Talavi spoke about, the 10-second send-off against, I think it was Melton or somebody. That was very much out of character. Other than that, I went through my whole playing career literally without a card. Or at least I wasn't on the ground. I was already off the ground by the time the referee realised he had to send me off. But good times. But where are we? Just at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
But it has been an absolute pleasure having Hrvoje Harry Chakarun in the studio. I know your parents, your mum in particular, loves listening to the show, so send a cheerio to Marty. I did mention her in a song a couple of weeks ago. She was pretty impressed. I spoke to her on Wednesday night. But, from a good family, very well spoken. Again, you just can't speak highly enough of everyone that's come through the studio, not only the older players that have come through, but the younger boys that are currently in the squad that have come through have been absolute gentlemen and, again, an ornament to our club and to our community, so, and to your family.
Yeah. So. And as enjoyable as it has been having you here in the studio, it's been much more enjoyable actually watching you out on the pitch. And this year you've been outstanding. And credit to you, mate. You know, honestly, it's been brilliant. Just keep going. And you're going to be a very memorable goalkeeper. I'm sure of that. Sure of that for years to come.
No, thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate it.
And get well soon, mate. Drink lots of full cream milk. Don't go to that cafe ever again because almond milk's not good for your bones. I know what it is good for, but it's...
Maybe in the time down now, they can learn to pronounce my surname.
Catcheroon.
Okay. Thanks to Harry Catcheroon for coming into the studio tonight anyway. But
we'll see Harry no doubt on Friday at the game. You'll be there supporting the boys. You were there at Bentley on Saturday night as well. So 7:45... Croatian derby, Melbourne Knights versus Dandy City. Big game for both clubs, for us to keep our spot in the six and for Dandy to keep making that push up, not only away from the relegation zone, but the way if they continue this trajectory, we'll be pushing for the top six as well.
Absolutely.
So they're doing some very, very positive things down there, and all credit to them. And thank you to Mr. Dorotic, president of the club down there, who joined us earlier in the evening as well. So we wish them the best of luck for the season, not so much on Friday, but... and also all the very best of luck for the tournament, which will be held in October. Yeah. And we hope that all goes extremely well and the club does a fantastic job of it, no doubt.
Yeah, and the more the merrier there on Friday night. I'm sure there'll be plenty of winter warmers there for you. I'm not sure if they've got the goulash or punya na paprika or sarma or something.
I missed the goulash on Friday, so I'll have to see what's on this Friday.
I'm sure they'll make it just for you.
But I'm pretty sure Josh would have. What did you get into you? Yeah, the chavape, what were you smashing?
Oh, there was a whole meat platter and we were treated to. It's fantastic. I almost tried to send someone down your way to the press box, Rob, that we were overserved.
Yeah, they don't feed us in the press box. We're just, you know, I mean, the doghouse even went away. Not at the stadium.
So what would have happened if you took that plate that you were given on Friday night at the Knights and took it to the vegan cafe and dropped it in the middle of the table there and... Said, how about putting this on your menu? There are going to be a few people fainting. And
I think they would have been woozier than Harry here was when he broke his finger.
They would have bought some red paint, thrown it upon themselves and demonstrated out the front of the cafe or something like that. But anyway, Harry, once again, thanks for coming in. Really, really appreciate it. But Smol, a special one. A special one tonight.
Special one. I wasn't particularly motivated after Saturday, but lucky I got the lyrics and the song recorded before the game against Bentley. So it's a tribute to the big cup win on Wednesday night, and just a general poke at our old rival. It's always handy to get one over them and then just keep sticking it to them until the next time. Because they beat us early in the season. We got them this time, so we're going to live off that for a while.
Yeah.
Until the time comes that we meet again.
Yeah, and they could keep getting offended by the touchlines being brought in by 35 centimetres or Sam Kerr's unusual euphemisms and whatever, what have you. People need to just chill.
That's
chill.
Right.
But especially people on Twitter. People are angry on Twitter.
They are.
Well, they need to get girlfriends or something. Oh, I don't know.
Outrage.com, it should be called. Everyone's outraged about everything. God almighty. They had a priest wearing a hard hat at Notre Dame the other day, yeah? So the joints burnt down, almost demolished, and they had a mass, and you had a hard hat on. People are outraged about that.
Yeah, see? Jeez. I'm offended by how offended people get.
Oh, and I'm offended by you're offended.
We'll just keep going.
Yeah, but I hope you enjoy the song. It's, it's been a hit and miss, the songs as well, but I think this one's not too bad. I don't mind it. There's a bit of harmony in there as well.
Beautiful.
A bit of Manowar. You could even Halloween Keeper of the Seven Keys.
Did you hear the Carry On at the game?
I didn't.
No, we're always doing a Carry On at halftime.
Oh, there you go.
I reckon it's a good one. I'm going to keep playing it at halftime. Just before the plays come out, Carry On.
Was that
Manowar.
One of the ones that people put forward when it was asked?
I think they were asking for Rammstein, but that's already happening.
Who are they?
Rammstein. Du hast.
Nah,
du. Du hast. Du hast nicht.
Never heard of one. I thought they that played down at the Hofbräuhaus or something. There's blokes in the squeeze box.
I don't think those dudes would play that.
And the shorts and that. Nah.
Not their kind of German music.
Yeah, my generation. We listened to metal in my day, mate. Metal.
We did.
Real metal.
Throw to the song already.
All right, this isn't really real metal. It's sort of glam ballad, whatever, rock ballad. I don't know what you want to call it, but hopefully you enjoy it. And we look forward to everyone tuning in next week. Good night, Australia.
Like a night.
Driving Wednesday afternoon, they said it's gonna rain. I was too late for the goulash, but I made it for kids, they talked of skipping school to watch Ivan Grgic and Corey Sewell. But Chucky had to miss the cup. Jordan Gifkin stepped right up. Then I nearly left my wife so I could be with Aidan Bryce together. Shine, but most of them left at half time. Remember when they used to boast about Roberto Carlos being coach? Now their caretaker will get the sack so they can bring Kevin Muscat back. I don't think I'll forget that night when Summer Street was set alight. We played Sheva. Say goodbye, South Mountain.
this week, beating you at Summers.